Welcome to our Thriving at the Beach podcast, your reliable source of information and a peek under the tent regarding all of the amazing things taking place in our Grand Strand community. There are so many great things underway here that we believe it's time to start telling our stories. That's exactly what Thriving at the Beach will do. This podcast has been created for all the residents in this great coastal community because we want you to be the first to know things that are coming and get the most accurate and up-to-date details on every initiative. In this podcast, we'll be hearing from the community partners that are busy building a brighter and more vibrant tomorrow. These partners will include the City of Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance, the Myrtle Beach Regional Economic Development Team, the multiple chambers of commerce, the HTC Aspire Hub Emerge Leadership, key business leaders, assorted community partners, and many more. It's our hope that you'll catch the momentum of how we are and will be thriving at the beach. I'm Peggy Masterson, and I'll be your host for Thriving at the Beach. I'm the director of the Partnership Grand Strand Foundation, and in case you haven't heard about us, we are the nonprofit foundation that's an extension of the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce. We were created by local business leaders to serve local residents and local businesses across all of the 14 communities that make up our beautiful coastal area. Our work allows us the opportunity, a very unique opportunity, to collaborate and support all of the organizations that are busy building a better tomorrow. This provides us a wonderful opportunity to collect all this exciting information and share it with each of you. I could not be more excited to be able to facilitate a way for these experts to tell their stories and share their exciting news with you. So get ready, get psyched to get a peek under the tent on projects, businesses, and opportunities coming to our area. I can't wait to watch you catch the momentum and then share it with others. Let's dive right in. Welcome, Thriving listeners. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Thriving at the Beach, where our primary goal is to get you excited about the future of Myrtle Beach and all its surrounding areas. And we do that by giving you an opportunity to meet the people that are busy working behind the scenes, driving all of this future success. We are all in for a real treat today because our guest is Jason Green. Currently, Jason Green is the Chief Executive Officer of the Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance. But he's also got a very interesting background. Jason grew up on a farm, and he was a Boy Scout in his early days, went on to graduate from the University of Southern California, and then served 8+ years of active duty for the U.S. Marine Corps. While he was in the Marine Corps, he was a helicopter pilot and instructor, a weapons instructor, an intelligence officer, and he was deployed on Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003. So before we go any further, I want to thank you for your service, Jason.
Thank you, Peggy.
We appreciate you. So after leaving the military, he got into construction and some property management and went from there to become the executive director of Habitat for Humanity here in Myrtle Beach. He's a current member of the multiple organizations, but an active member in the Rotary, on the Leadership Grand Strand Board of Regents, and a board member for the Myrtle Beach Tech Advisory Group, New Directions, and several other organizations. He is a strategic thinker and a master planner, which makes him uniquely qualified for the role that he is in right now. He's very detail-oriented and one of the most collaborative people I have come to know. So with that said, I just want to welcome you, Jason. Thanks so much for being here today.
Well, thank you, Peggy, for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. So as we get started, I think it's really helpful for folks to kind of get grounded in a good understanding of what the Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance is, why it was formed, what your focus is. Sure. So I was wondering if you could share that with us.
Yeah, so the Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance is a creative placemaking organization, and not a lot of people know what that actually means. So really what we do is we want to show a picture of tomorrow today in an area like downtown Myrtle Beach. So we create events to kind of showcase what's happening. We help assist with activating vacant space. We help develop guidelines for future design. We do a host of other things behind the scenes, like advocating for incentives and working towards master planning for certain areas of downtown that need to have some improvement, but also revitalization and also for some new development. So we kind of have our hands in a lot of different things, but the most public-facing thing that I think folks will see is what we do to the streetscape and to vacant space in downtown.
Well, I know that those are the things that people see most often, but you and I have met multiple times, and I know that there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that you're also deeply involved in. And, you know, none of those things can happen without the pre-work, without the behind-the-scenes kind of collaboration, alignment, those kind of things. Can you share a little bit about maybe an example of that pre-work and collaboration that's taken place while you've been in the leadership role in the Downtown Alliance?
So last summer, we actually developed a strategic plan for the revitalization and redevelopment of downtown. I think a lot of folks say that's the Downtown Alliance's plan. It's actually the downtown's plan. We just happened to be the one that helped author it with all of the collaborators that we work with, working with us to develop a plan that was good for Myrtle Beach. So this is notwithstanding any of the planning that the City of Myrtle Beach had done with the Arts and Innovation District and any previous work that had been done before. We kind of just took all of those visioning documents and all of the master plans that currently existed, brought them together, established a timeline, and then started working towards the parts that we could do as the Downtown Alliance to help facilitate that. And a big part of that is working with the other organizations that can help us advance the ball to the finish line, which is certainly many years away. But the idea is that we want to work together, and we developed an operations model that allows folks to continue to execute not only their personal missions, but the organizational missions within the context of redevelopment of downtown.
Yeah, and I know from having spoken with you that you have built quite an elaborate set of committees and brought in multiple experts that can kind of focus in those individual community or committee areas. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so we have five standing committees that we work with. These are board members and members of the community that serve on these committees. And we like it that way because we often, as a board and as a group or as an organization, we don't want to fall in love with our own plans. So we want to make sure we have fresh perspective all the time, which is why we invite members of the community that have a vested interest in something that we're doing to participate in that committee work. So, for example, we have a planning committee, and we kind of are looking 2 to 3 to 5 years in advance, things that are important, but we also kind of handle the advocacy part of that. So we work towards establishing advocacy objectives that are good for downtown, working with the municipalities and the county and the state and the federal government alongside the City of Myrtle Beach to make sure that we are aligned properly with the messaging that is going out. And there are certainly other partners that help us advocate as well in this area. We have a clean and safe committee. Homeless is a big issue in downtown and something that we have to pay attention to. But we have to work with the numerous service providers and the police department to work with our GOLCAP ambassadors to make sure that we really understand what the complexity of the issues around homelessness are and how we can help facilitate the connections that are required to provide folks that want assistance to get assistance. We have an events committee, which is probably the biggest thing and the biggest committee we have. They really help us manage the over 200 events that go on in downtown, and not all of which we do, but we work with every event promoter in the downtown area to make sure that we understand what they're doing, when they're doing it, so that we can promote it as a destination for downtown, which kind of leads to the promotion and marketing committee, which helps us develop the downtown's brand and making sure that we're marketing it appropriately.
And I love the way you've structured things like that, because you're a small team, much like Partnership Grand Strand is, and by pulling together all those community resources, whether they're board members or not, really extends your reach, I think, and not only makes sure that what you're doing is that you're not talking to yourself, right? That you've got, you know, kind of good, fresh input coming in from the community stakeholders, but it takes a small organization into a space where they can have a much broader impact when they expand into those types of committees. And I think that that approach has been very powerful in the time that you've been on boards. It's definitely new, isn't it?
I mean, the committees existed before I came here, but we kind of put some additional structure around them and invited the members of the public to join that committee if they're willing to do so. And it's been helpful for us to gain that perspective, to really understand, like, well, what should an event look like and how do we elevate the experience of an event? And then how do we brand downtown as a destination, not only for visitors, but for residents as well? As we continue to move forward in this trajectory to build a resident-centric downtown, we want to make sure it's a great place for residents as well. So all of that is part of our planning consideration, and we kind of execute that through the committees. And our committees help us shape the events or the marketing plan or the advocacy to make sure that we're meeting the strategic goals that we have outlined in our strategic plan. So it's very much aligned with the goals that we have set forth for ourselves. All the committees are aligned with that. But a lot of it is making sure we understand what the community wants, which is, in addition just to the committee work, we do a lot of community input meetings. And we do those community input meetings so that whatever we come up with in terms of milestones or planning that we're doing or some ideas that we have, we'd like to vet that to the community at large. So we'll have a series of community input meetings. In fact, we have some coming up this fall and some in the early winter to really capture the thoughts around things that we're doing to make sure that, are we hitting the mark? Are we off the mark? Is this kind of what you expect? Is it not what you expect? And we want that feedback. We actually embrace it because we can't plan this in a bubble. We can't plan this without the input of the community.
Sure.
And we can't plan this without our stakeholders' input as well. So We want to make sure we know what all the pitfalls are and all the nuance to the decisions that we make so that we're advancing the ball in the right way.
So if I'm a listener, let's say somebody listening to this podcast, one of the ways they could get involved would be to attend some of these community input meetings, right,
that's coming up
if they want to be heard or they want to just voice an opinion, be engaged in the process. I think that's something we should link in the show notes to make sure that individuals have the opportunity to know when those are going to take place. And I know they're also on your website and so forth. But, you know, I love what you said about the fact that we can't build this in a bubble, that it is a... At the end of the day, it's a community, and it's about the people that live and work and play in that community 24/7, 365.
That's right.
And to know that they have an opportunity to be involved, I think, is really powerful, and that we want to encourage them to be able to do that.
We do, and we have plenty of opportunity for folks to engage, and anyone can call me anytime.
You know, like,
I'll take the
calls. Well, be careful now.
And if you have a question, if you're concerned about something, please let me know. I don't propose to know everything about like how to do this, but there's a lot of great ideas out there. And if it's something that works for this given time for us to be able to implement, and we'll give it a shot. And we're not afraid to try things. And, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, that's okay too. We just want to make sure that we're getting the right mix of things together that really creates this great lifestyle that we're trying to create in downtown.
Yeah. And I know that you have shared before when we've spoken about some of the critical elements that you want to see, and that obviously the community has also voiced an opinion on wanting to see in the redevelopment of the downtown area. Can you speak to those a little bit in terms of some of the things that are really important to you and to the committees that you lead?
Yeah, so I think, and I'll kind of put this in the context of our strategic goals that we have. So it's been very clear from kind of the input we got early on that having a resident-centric downtown is very, very important, a place for residents, right? So, and it's not just for residents that live in downtown, but it's for residents of the Grand Strand in general to come to downtown
right,
and feel like
sure.
they're part of their home, right? Mm-hmm. We've kind of long kind of postulated that the downtown area of Myrtle Beach is the front door to the Grand Strand and to the beach, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're embracing that moniker to the highest degree possible. If you live there, you should have a great life while you live in downtown. If you visit downtown as a resident, you should say, I feel at home here. If you're a visitor, said, this is great. I love being a visitor in this downtown.
Sure.
So we want folks to really embrace that part of it when they come into the downtown area. So it's going to take time to create that, and we realize that, but we want to make sure that those are pieces that we are really embracing as we put on events. Are these events that serve residents and visitors alike? Are we putting public art in places that is appealing and helps you and makes you think and makes you kind of be transformed
inspired,
in your journey,
right?
Inspired in downtown? So these are the kinds of things that we really are like focusing on to the highest degree possible to make sure that, like, are we doing this right? And is this what the community wants? Mm-hmm. Which is why our community input meetings are so important. We certainly don't want to put something in place that nobody wants, right? So, or at least advocate for something that nobody wants. So we want to make sure we're doing what the community is asking us to do for their downtown, for our downtown, right? This is not just the Downtown Alliance's downtown or the City of Myrtle Beach's downtown. This is the community's downtown as far as we're concerned. And we want to make sure it's something special.
Yeah, and I know that there's also been a lot of conversation about the importance of history, mm-hmm. and making sure that in all the kind of momentum to, you know, rebuild the area and so forth, you and your team have been very sensitive to the fact that we need to remember who we are and
That's right.
continue to portray that in the new Myrtle Beach, I guess, mm-hmm. or in the new downtown.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a really rich history in downtown. Not all of it is great, but we want to make sure that we're aware of what the history is in downtown. And we want to make sure that we are embracing the idea that this is part of our heritage, part of our past. We need to honor that in a very specific way, in a very thoughtful way, in a way that respects all that come into downtown. Right. So that's a really important part for us to get right. And we can express that in numerous ways, the way that we design roads or buildings or even just the way that we display public art.
Sure.
So that we are really bringing the essence of what Myrtle Beach is all about right into downtown. And that's really, really important, I think, for not only the folks that live in downtown now, the surrounding communities around downtown, but for anyone that ventures into downtown, we want you to know that you mean something to us and that this downtown means something and hopefully means something to you as we put all of this together. So, and I say us, I mean, it's a collective effort by numerous stakeholders.
Sure.
You know, the city being one of the bigger stakeholders here, mm-hmm. you know, we are assisting by bringing the partners, the stakeholders together with the city to be able to advance the ball together. And that's, I would say, probably one of the bigger roles we play is to, hey, we're bringing this group and we're bringing this group. They can perform their mission in a very specific way, and it helps us advance the ball towards a really great revitalized and redeveloped downtown.
And I know you have a complete plan that you have written and that is public, I believe, right?
It is.
That they
website.
Can find it on your website. So folks that are interested could certainly make
I have
sure
to
they
laugh know. About it being complete, though.
Well, it's evolving.
Well, it's always evolving, right? Uh-huh. So we took the very strong position when we developed the strategic plan that it was only 80% complete, right? And there's a lot of data that points and a lot of assumptions we make. My planning experience from, you know, over 30 years of planning has taught me that you'll never get started if you don't just put something out
sure.
there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I only plan to 80% complete on purpose because I've learned more in the time of execution than I did even just in the planning. And we started executing this in September of last year. So nearly a year we've been executing. And from that experience, we've learned the things that we're missing. We validated a lot of assumptions we made. We invalidated, which is equally as important, a lot
sure.
of assumptions we made,
mm-hmm.
Largely because we just didn't know a lot of what we needed to know when we developed the plan. And so it takes a really strong group of people to say 80% is good enough, right? We can figure the rest out as we go along. And I think it's a testament to the group that came together to help develop the plan that we said there are things that we just don't know today that might be different in a year from now. And
this is good enough to get started.
Well, and it's really important flexibility, to start, right? Too. I mean, it's good to be a little flexible, too, yeah. because as new opportunities develop that you can't, there's no way you can see them when you're building a plan to be able to kind of adapt, you know.
Well, I like to say the 20% that's remaining, we're building it while we're flying the plane. Right?
So, I can relate to that. That happens a lot. So within the kind of day-to-day and the current initiatives that you're focused on, you mentioned a couple things when we spoke earlier about the public input meetings, mm-hmm. and I think we know kind of why those are happening and what your goal is with those. But are there other things that are kind of on your dashboard right now in terms of current initiatives that you could share with us?
Yeah, I think the big one right now is developing the design guidelines for downtown. I think that is a really important part for getting downtown right. There's a character of downtown that we're trying to create, right? So there's a lot of interesting architecture in downtown that's reminiscent of mid-century modern. We want to make sure that we capture that in some of the things that we do. There's a lot of different styles in downtown, and it really makes it authentically Myrtle Beach, mm-hmm. right? Downtown is authentically
Myrtle
Beach.
So you want to retain that?
So we want to retain that to a degree, but we also want to introduce some things that allow us to honor that and expand upon it as well. So the design guidelines become very, very important for that. So it's not just architecture. It's the way that streets are laid out. It's the way that parks are designed for community use. It's the way that we light the night sky with, or the streets, or the parks, or the neighborhoods. So a lighting master plan is really critical in that. The brand of downtown, the theme of downtown, the wayfinding, which I think is really exciting. I think that the wayfinding speaks to so many people, like, well, how do I know I'm in downtown? Where do I go once I'm in downtown? If mm-hmm. I'm walking around, how do I know which way to go? The wayfinding becomes really critical, not only for residents, but for visitors as well.
So tell me a little bit about that. When you say wayfinding, what exactly do you mean?
So if you've been to a city before where you see a sign that says art museum to the left and, you know, the beach to the right, mm-hmm. and wherever you're at.
So directions.
So directional okay. finding, but also points of interest that might have a specific monument or a specific sign that says, hey, you're here. Those are wayfinding kind of devices that you can use. So we kind of categorize them a few different ways. Directional is one way we categorize those, but points of interest are another.
Sure, and they're all part of wayfinding.
They are.
Gotcha.
And it just lets folks know where they are and that they happen to be in a specific area. And which way to go to get to a specific area. So it's really fun to kind of go through that drill because you start to learn a lot of things. And we've amassed some great subject matter experts to help us. I think we have about 35 people on the team that's helping us with all these design guidelines, a lot of which are volunteers. We have some contractors working with us on some of the key points for urban planning. But it's a great collaboration of folks coming together and really pouring their heart and soul into this, knowing that it's for our community. And it's really great to see. And
oh, yeah.
I love leading this project because it's a neat thing to watch unfold over time.
And see the energy continue to build, too,
yeah.
right? And, you know, I'm a firm believer anytime there's more minds kind of focused around a singular piece, mm-hmm. you're going to end up with a better project or a better yeah. End product. So,
well, I think the interesting thing that came out of this, we kind of started different pieces separately. And what we realized, there was so much coordination and so much communication required. It's like, let's just bring the whole TV, you know, the whole team together. And if you want to participate in this particular meeting, please do. We have meetings where everyone participates, but it gives everyone a perspective of what everyone else is working on. And it's like, oh, I can't do that because you're going to do this, right?
So see how it all fits together, right?
We need to collaborate on that part. So the collaboration has been very organic between the different groups working on different parts, which I found was really great. It reduced the communication. So managing the project as a project manager, it's been really kind of interesting to see that organic communication and collaboration happening.
Yeah, people feeling comfortable to reach out to one another mm-hmm. and ask the questions they need to yeah. be able to move forward. So coming back to these design guidelines, I'm not very familiar, and I'm guessing several other people that might be listening aren't either. Is when you talk about design guidelines, what kind of things are we actually talking about? What does
sure.
that mean?
So maybe a simple example could be, like, where should we put public art? Or how should we dress an intersection to know that you've entered into a different place? What should our peripheral intersections look like. Maybe not specifically, but saying, hey, if we're going to do an intersection on the periphery of the downtown, then it should have X, Y, and Z. That could be painted crosswalks. It could have an artistic on in two or three corners, or artistic piece of art, a sculpture of sorts.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It could have a water feature. Like, those are the kinds of things we're trying to figure out. And that's why the community input is so important. What should lighting look like on a major thoroughfare? What should it look like in a neighborhood? What kind of pole should we have? Like, should it be a fluted pole? Should it be a slick pole? Like, these are the kinds of things that are really important to get right, because it does shape the eventual character of the entire downtown.
And then once the guidelines are agreed upon, then they're consistent, right, throughout that given area.
So, we work very closely with the Community Appearance Board and the Planning Commission throughout this. We've been working with them throughout this entire process, and numerous departments within the city, including the Planning and Zoning Department, and several committees like Bicycle and Ped and the Cultural Resources Committee, mainly to make sure we understand their input into the guidelines, and that we understand, like, well, what is it that is important to these groups that we capture into these guidelines, because these are guidelines for how downtown's future character is going to look, or how it's going to evolve over time. So something as simple as like, hey, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee would like signs that are a certain height and a certain shape, and that somebody can see if they're driving 20 miles an hour on a bike or something like that. Those are important considerations, even considerations around public transit. How high should a sign be so that somebody doesn't hit their head on it? Like, to that level of detail.
Yeah, lots of detail. So, lots of things we take for granted, right?
Yeah.
That all have to come together to make a community feel in one way, shape, or form. Right.
But the consistency is the point here. And it's not a homogenous, though. We're not trying to create this homogenous look and feel with respect to architecture and how streets are. It's like, what's appropriate for this street or this type of street? What's appropriate for this type of neighborhood? You know, a residential neighborhood would be vastly different than a commercial neighborhood, so to speak. So there's different styles that you would have in both that would still blend together in a way that makes you feel like I'm still in downtown when mm-hmm. I'm in downtown, if that makes any sense.
So do design guidelines bridge over into like the height of buildings that are going to be built down there, or maybe the facade? Does it get to that level of detail?
To some degree, like, you know, they may make recommendations in terms of materials with respect to the facades of buildings, or how a facade should look on a kind of a main street feel, like Broadway Street is here in downtown.
Okay.
How should a facade look in the Arts and Innovation District? Maybe not specifically, but like, hey, these are the guidelines that we're looking for. When you walk by a window, it should look like this, right? But not that. So like this, but not that.
I see. Okay.
So kind of think of it as like, this is an acceptable example and this is not an acceptable example. So those are the kinds of things that we're working towards. Lighting is a little different because it will have different typologies, as the term is, where this is the lighting style you would want on a main street, or this is the type of lighting style you would want in temperature, color, where the poles are placed.
Wow, lots and lots of layers of detail, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and it's really important, though, because I think it does help us drive what's cost-effective, too. So we have a person on one of the groups that we work with respect to signage. Well, we can design the most elaborate sign we want, but can we afford it?
Right.
So they're like, hey, no, you can't build that. That's way too expensive. Let's not do that at all. Right. So that's been great input for us as we've mm-hmm. been kind of going through the signage detail. It's like, you know, these are the kinds of things. And also talking to CAB, since they have, or the Community Appearance Board, because mm-hmm. they have authority over signs. We want to make sure that they understand. We understand kind of what they would like to see and feel too. And so that they have input in terms of what we're trying to design and build here.
So if these design guidelines reach completion, which they will, I know, they're not finalized yet, correct? They're still underway?
Right. We're about 80% through. We have about five more months of work to do on them to finish them up. Our expectation is that we'll have a final version of this by March of next year.
Okay. So these guidelines will fuel what any type of developer would use, right, to come in and build their own plans and then ultimately actually do the construction.
That's right.
Is that correct?
So it helps us. I see it in a couple of different ways. One is it gives them guidance, you know, with respect to a developer or,
sure.
or a developer slash investor group that's doing a larger project. These are guidelines for them to say, okay, well, this is what we expect as a community for you to build for us. Like, please don't build it out of character. This is the character of downtown. This is what we're trying to maintain. And so these are the guidelines that, you know, Community Appearance Board and Planning Commission would then use to say, okay, well, these plans are not acceptable because it doesn't meet these guidelines that we have for this area of Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. The other part of it, in probably not such a well-known reason, is that it helps them mitigate risk to a degree as well, because there's known costs that develop this style. Right. So it's easy to say, can you build something here? Well, if we don't give them guidelines, they can build whatever they want for whatever price.
Sure.
But with the guidelines, now they know the cost. Like, okay, this is what they expect. This is the true cost to actually build this project. So there's a bit of a risk mitigation factor with respect to the guidelines that helps the knowns become known, or the unknowns become known.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for somebody to go out and put a bid together for something that wasn't within your guidelines and have to start all over again.
That's right.
So it's what it feels like to me is that you're kind of in the hub. You're in the center of all of these kind of working components mm-hmm. that are going to culminate together into one plan that will be at least the initial, I guess, definition of a revitalized downtown.
Yeah.
That'll have that nice blend between, you know, what folks always remembered Myrtle Beach to be and
yeah.
this kind of aspirational hope of where we're going next.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think that these guidelines also, because we're focusing on brand and destination brand and we're focusing on public art, it gives us some guidance in terms of how we move forward today, because buildings take a long time to get permitted and built. I think everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the short term, what can we do? So creating events and kind of putting together the numerous events that happened in downtown under a kind of a thematic expression. Like our theme for downtown is the sunrise. And so we have seasons as well. So we're kind of capturing the equinoxes and the solstices to make sure that we're using those kind of as kind of placeholders for like, hey, this is summer in downtown and this is fall in downtown. And there's a very specific theme that is associated with that, kind of bring in solar piece as well as kind of the seasonal piece together. And then talking about like, this is downtown's kind of brand with respect to how we bring all of that together. And it gives us an opportunity to work with existing businesses and new businesses that come into downtown to say, you can be part of this too, as an extension of these events, as an extension of the art. Can you participate in that?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love for you to. We want you to be part of the growth of downtown and part of the revitalization by participating as a community in this work. And I think the real trick has been to try to find out how we get the businesses and residents engaged into the process. Events are a great way to do that. Public art's a great way to do that. They're early wins as far as I'm concerned. Like, these are things we can start doing today to make sure that as we're putting all of this together, we're not forgetting that we're here to create this really unique environment that we could still have today while all of this revitalization and redevelopment occurs.
Yeah, and I think that's so important to folks that have been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really speak to that personally, but I've talked to enough folks that have kind of been waiting and watching and hoping, mm-hmm. you know, for change to be coming into this downtown area and to show those small wins and this progress, and plus have conversations like this that basically say there is a plan. There are a lot of steps and a lot of details that have to yeah. fall in place, but there is a plan and we need to feel really good about what the future can hold, because this plan is something that the community's built.
Yeah.
It wasn't built in a silo.
Yeah. And there's certainly going to be some catalyzing large projects that certainly make a statement as to what's happening in downtown. You know, the Arts and Innovation District is a great, great, like, centerpiece for downtown.
Yeah.
And, but no there's doubt. A lot of small things along the way, kind of to your point, there's a lot of small things that we can do today that cumulatively kind of make this much bigger over time,
mm-hmm.
right? It makes downtown's character kind of real today. Something as simple as having a presence of, say, the art museum in downtown, even if it's a tiny gallery. Over time, it may be a bigger, you know, gallery at some point.
Well, and plus, you know, with the theater coming down there, we attended the groundbreaking.
That's right.
And had Dr. Benson chatting with us a little bit ago. All of those things are significant pieces of what's part of a much bigger puzzle.
Right. Yeah, right? And it's by design, right? The plan is, it's a long-term, long-time schedule to be able to put this together.
Sure.
And so these incremental wins are very, very important for the future of downtown.
Well, I'm excited about the future of downtown, there's no doubt. And it feels like every time I talk to you, it takes there's a little more clarity and it's taking shape, which obviously feels, you know, that notion of feeling positive and encouraged and so forth. So we've talked a lot about initiatives and so forth. And one of the questions that I've been asking folks as we've been chatting is, what's an initiative that's coming up for you in the future? Like that we talked about the things you're doing now and the things you're working on. Do you have anything? I mean, most of what is happening in the Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance planning process is for the future.
Yeah.
But is there a particular, what's next, I guess, is what I'm wondering. When these community input meetings are complete and the design stuff is finished, what do you see as kind of next on the radar?
Well, for the Downtown Alliance specifically, the initiatives that we're going to keep driving for, presuming that all the incentives and the planning, the master planning is complete and all of that sort of thing, is really building the community around like all of this, which we're already started actually, but continuing to build the community around the effort and getting them engaged in the effort, I think is really important. I think it's a really important part for us to get right. And there's numerous ways to do that. The events or participating committees and helping us drive some of the character of downtown, I think is really important. I'm really excited about the idea that we can all work together and get the brand of downtown like to a level that is on par with some great premier destinations in the Grand Strand. And I think it's possible. I think we're going to get there. I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to get there. It just takes some time, but we want the community to be involved in that process. I think it's the most important thing we can do is involve the community, residents and visitors, business owners, government officials, everybody involved in this process, I think is really, really important. Probably the most important thing that we can do.
Well, and I mentioned early on that you're one of the most collaborative people that I've come across, and I think you're uniquely suited for pulling that kind of collaboration together because it's not easy, and it's also not something that has always been done. It hasn't always happened the way that it needs to happen to move this ball forward, as you put it. So hats off to you there. And if there's anything that PGS can do to help you continue to collaborate in that way, we're here to help.
Well, we're excited about the partnerships we have and certainly very appreciative of the partners and the way that they commit their financial and their manpower to what we're doing. Because I think it speaks volumes to the desire to want to work together to do a project that is so important. And you can see the passion in everybody. Every time I have a conversation with folks about what we're working towards collectively, there's a ton of enthusiasm. There's a ton of passion into it. It's remarkable to see how many folks are excited about this.
Well, and I know you're, you know, waist high or higher in the details, but I'm interested if you could share with us kind of how do you feel in general about the future of the downtown Myrtle Beach area and why?
Well, I'm extremely excited about the future of downtown. And I'm excited because I think the way that we're going about doing this, I don't think is novel by any extent, but I think the way that we have brought folks together to kind of move this forward, I think is unique because every collaborative partner we have is unique in its own right. So I'm really excited about the idea that these relationships that we have are just going to continue to get stronger. The working relationship, hopefully at some point, will become somewhat predictable, which is always what you want when you have a team of folks, whether they're...
You get to know each other really well.
So you become somewhat predictable in your actions, so to speak. So I know exactly how Partnership Grand Strand can plug into this. I know exactly how the CVB or the chamber or a department within the city or CCU or Georgetown Tech, I know how they can plug into this, which over time would become more and more apparent, and what the next steps are and how we grow these small seeds that we're planting every single day of presence in downtown and getting the initial presence in downtown and then watching that grow over time to create this really unique environment, I think is really exciting to watch.
So what is the vision? Like if you were to, you know, push yourself forward, let's say 15 to 20 years, how would you describe what success would look like for you and for the community?
I think this, it would be a proud moment for me personally if this was the place that people wanted to be, right? And like, I want to go down there and hang out for the day and night and see a show and go home. Wherever I live in the Grand Strand, a visitor coming is like, this is the greatest downtown that they have ever seen. And it's really great and feels welcoming. But for residents that live here, just a great lifestyle living in downtown every single day. And so I can't wait to walk out my door and be part of this.
Clean and safe and happy and bright and all those things.
Those are things that are exciting. I would love for a day when my kids eventually, when they get out of college, to say, I can't wait to come home to be part of Myrtle Beach and part of downtown. That would be probably the best thing I could wish for.
that's amazing.
I still got a few years for that. But really, I can't wait for that day. We're like, hey, I can't wait to come home after college.
Right? Exactly. Well, and that's what it's all about, right? Because then it becomes home. And home is always where the family is. I know that. But I mean, to really be excited about being home and finding your sense of identity within a particular community is powerful. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of Partnership Grand Strand and the Grand Strand communities for your leadership in this space for taking time to chat with us today and tell us about all the things that you have in motion that we should all feel encouraged and excited about. And I certainly hope that you'll come back and update us often and join us on this podcast as many times as you'd like to get the word out about all the great work that you and your team are doing.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to sit here and talk about what's happening in downtown and would love to come back and do updates.
Awesome. Well, we will make sure that happens. And for now, I think that's a wrap, and we appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Peggy.
It was great to get a chance to know Jason Green a little better today. And hopefully you learned a little more about the level of complexity involved in taking on the revitalization of our beloved downtown. Jason is busy managing multiple work streams with numerous stakeholders, but his natural ability to drive collaboration and his attention to detail makes him uniquely qualified for this role. I'm more encouraged than ever that Myrtle Beach will evolve to be an improved version of itself in the near future. We will definitely get Jason back here to continue to provide updates for us. But until then, take care and keep thriving. So that's all for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. You can find this podcast as well as a transcript of the podcast on Partnership Grand Strand's website, which is partnershipgrandstrand.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll release a new episode every other week, so stay tuned to get that behind-the-scenes info on how we are thriving at the beach and across our entire coastal community. Till next time, keep thriving.